Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5 is kind of where we'll pick up. Everybody in Galatians? I'm not. All right, Galatians chapter 5. I'm really wanting to get to Galatians chapter 6, but I just think it's good to kind of set it up by coming into it a little bit earlier. If I was to title this message today, and those of you that have been around for a while, I'm just not really good at sermon titles. If I was going to name a horse, you know, I'd probably know, oh, what's your horse's name? Black. Oh, that's old brown. So I'm not really that creative. But if I was to title this, I would title this one, Who Cares? Turn to your neighbor and just say, Who Cares? Go ahead, put an attitude with it if you want. Who cares, right? And so we're going to talk about care, love, and how it pertains to us as the body of Christ. Because the answer to the question of who cares, how many of you know that the body of Christ ought to care the most? Truly ought to care the most. And so let's just delve into this. I encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights. We've been in the book of Romans for just a little bit. We've kind of spent a fair bit of time on Romans chapter 8. And then we very briefly and quickly went over Romans chapter 9 and 10 and 11. Paul kind of makes a case about some things in there. And then we get to chapter 12, and we're going to camp in chapter 12 for a little while. And so I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights and just study the word together. Here we are in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Let's start here. Some of our Wednesday nights in Romans 8, we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And Paul says here, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of you can understand that scripture? Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do? And then didn't do something you wished you would have done something, right? We can all understand that. And so the idea of being a caring / loving person takes effort. Would you all agree with that? It takes actually a lot of effort. For some people seem to be a little bit maybe more prone to do it easier. But even for those that it seems to be easy, caring takes a lot of effort. It really does. And if we're not careful, we'll try to just think that caring can be worked out in the mind. Oh, I really care about that person. And that's a good place to start. But how many of you know that the care has to get out of here and it has to get to here, right? It has to get worked out. It has to be something physical, if I could say it that way. And there really is a physical side of being spiritual. Would you agree with that? There's a physical side of being spiritual. It's not just, you know, this thing called serving God and doing the Christian life isn't just a head game. It's not just something that's all kind of mental. How many of you know it has to work itself out into real everyday living? And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about cultivating a caring heart, cultivating a heart of love. You could even say that as well. And this portion of scripture leading up to chapter 6 is just so powerful and sets the stage. So he's talking about in 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because there's this resistance. The flesh, if we're going to walk in the flesh versus walk in the Spirit, both sides take resistance, right? The flesh, there's, you know, maybe there is a few exceptional people this morning, but how many of you know you had to pull yourself out of bed to come to church today, right? And, you know, I would love to stand before you as your pastor and say, every morning, I just can't wait to come. But there's a few mornings that it's like, oh, I'd love to stay in bed, right? Anybody ever felt like that before? You know, one of the jokes of pastors sometimes is you get a group of pastors together, and let me tell you, one of the things that pastors would love to do, I've never done it in 24 years. I'm not going to say I'm not ever going to do it. But sometimes a pastor would just love to wake up in the morning and not show up. Just not show up and not tell a soul. Not tell a soul. Come back the next week as if nothing ever happened. Only to have some brave soul finally step forward and say, where were you last week? And the respond is, pastors have heard other people's respond. Oh, I just was tired, didn't want to come. Had a tough week. Wouldn't that be fun? That's our flesh. That's the flesh side of a pastor that just, you know, I'd love to say that we just wake up and just, you know, we just want to do whatever. When somebody cuts us off of the deal, I would love to say that praise the Lord, hallelujah, is the thoughts that we have. But it's, you know, just people. So let's look here. Then Paul goes into, and again, this is just laying a foundation here. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What law would that be talking about? Speaking specifically, he's talking about the Old Testament law, right? Okay. Now the works of the flesh, now he lists the works of the flesh. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list because he has a caveat towards the end of this. Okay, so let's just read. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Okay, a lot of people would go, okay, well, you know, maybe that hasn't been a part of my life, or maybe it has, or whatever. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Ooh, now starting to touch a whole lot of people now, right? Outbursts of wrath. Anybody ever had an outburst of wrath? Nah, really? I could take you to an outburst of wrath on the roof of the first house that we built. There was an outburst of wrath after hitting my thumb umpteen times with a 16-ounce S-wing hammer. Somehow that hammer made its way through a half an inch of plywood. It was a weak spot in the plywood, I'm sure. Made its way all the way through, clear to the floor. Thankfully, it's covered up by shingles. But I could take you to the spot on the roof where I said out loud, how many more times are you going to hit your stupid thumb? Anyhow, all right, so how many of you now are in the middle of this already? A works of the flesh. Anybody here? Okay, somewhere we're in this, but look at this. Selfish ambitions. Anybody ever been selfish in here? Raise your hand. Anybody? I want to do it my way. Okay? Dissensions. Heresies. Envy. Any of you ever wanted what somebody else had? Murders. Hopefully we don't get tons of hands on that one. Drunkenness. Revelries. Then I like this. And the like. Okay. In other words, things that look like whatever we've read thus far. Okay. I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things, kind of a sobering deal, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say fruit of the Spirit. Now to understand what he's saying, but the fruit of the Spirit, here's one thing that we need to understand. We got to tie that to verse 16. Because he talks about, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Really, the subtext would say, but the fruit of walking in the Spirit. Are you with me? Because here's what doesn't happen. That sometimes I think, as believers, we think may happen, or at least we would hope would happen. When we give our heart to Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of our life, how many of you know we've received the Holy Spirit into our life as well? Are you with me? Okay? God lives in us. But how many of you know that just doesn't turn us into this great person? Some of you have this look like, it doesn't? No, it doesn't. Because how many of you know we have to work on behaviors? Right? If we had a foul mouth, how many of you know we had to work on our foul mouth? If we were prone to lying, how many of you know we had to work on our lying? If you're prone to outbursts of wrath, how many of you know we got to work on it? You know, there are some exceptional things that sometimes take place when we give our heart to Jesus Christ and make a decision to follow Him. There are some times that the Spirit of God maybe will break a destructive habit that somebody's had for years that just supernaturally it gets broke. But how many of you know, by and large, we got to walk out this thing called our salvation with fear and trembling, right? We got to work on it. We got to renew our mind to the Word of God. We got to think a different way. We got to form new paths to walk in. We got to develop new habits. Those just don't come by being born again. We just don't wake up the next day after making a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. We don't wake up the next day and we're just loving and we're just peaceful and we're just gentle. It just doesn't happen overnight. But the fruit of walking in the Spirit, and I love this list, is, look at the first one. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love is not an emotion. Love is not just a feeling. Love is not a heady idea. Love isn't just something that's just, I love you, without any action. Love is action. The God kind of love has action that backs it up. That's the very first thing that I love to see. But the fruit of walking in the Spirit is really how the best way you could read that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. Just in case somebody has the idea, these fruit just come by God, just there they are in your life. It's not true. I mean, if you know, self-control happens by you controlling yourself, right? Yeah. It doesn't say Holy Spirit controlled. Self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And then he goes in to the next part that I really want to get to. Brethren. Turn to your neighbor and say, brethren. Or, yeah, sistren, I guess. So, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. All right, anybody in here ever sinned? Raise your hand. Those of you who didn't, just did. Just saying. No. All right. We've all sinned. We've all been overtaken in any trespass. Now, let me just go on a rabbit trail for just a moment, a really quick one. How many of you know any trespass is any trespass? So the little white trespasses, the church can deal with pretty easily. But over the years, the church hasn't been great dealing with the big dog trespasses. The big dog stuff. It's easier to try to ignore, try to cover up, try to brush under the wood, hope they leave and do something else. Are you with me? How many of you know there's some things in socially, I understand that there's some sin that socially might carry with it a greater ramification. But how many of you know sin is sin? And you know what? The body of Christ, because we should be a caring, loving body of believers, not just here, but big picture, how many of you know we ought to be able to deal with any trespass? From the most despicable to the littlest little sort of white one. We ought to be able to deal with them all. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The first step in developing to become a very caring, loving person is to look at yourself and consider yourself. How many of you know all of us in here could say this, but for the grace of God? There's nothing that any one of us in here aren't capable of, but for the grace of God. Amen. We need to realize that, you know what? Maybe you feel like you're at a certain spot in God of maturity of this, that, or the other. But you know what? The real deal is this. If any one of us stop following, stop trusting, stop running after God, but for the grace of God, we can find ourselves in the most despicable situation you could think of, right? So we can't point our fingers at anybody. Amen. Secondly, look. These first five verses is all we're going to get through this morning. But these first five verses, traditionally, a lot of times get taught as individual points. But they're really together, okay? And it's best understood when it's together. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? So let's look at, go to the book of John chapter 15, and let's start reading in verse 12. Let's look at what is the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So when Paul talks about the law, that what may seem like, you can't be justified by the law, we're justified by faith. He's talking about Old Testament law. But Paul now is writing to the New Testament church, and he's telling us to bear one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ in John 15, verse 12, you see it in red. He says, this is my commandment. How many of you know when it's coming from the lips of Jesus, we better take note, right? I mean, this isn't something, if we get around to it, this isn't something that he would say, well, you know, I kind of have some good advice for you if you want to follow it. Now, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Now, I wished he would have stopped right there. Because then I would have been able to define what that love looks like. Are you with me? You know, love one another. So that I could justify and say, well, I love you, and you know, that's the best I've got, and if you don't like it, well, there you go. But I love you. That's my love for you. Jesus didn't say that. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Now he puts a qualifier on it, and that qualifier is a pretty big deal. He says, as. You're not taking any away from the King James Version text if you add the word just. Just as. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he's done it. Now I've got a bar. That's the bar that he's raised. The qualifier isn't my deal, how I define love. It's not what I think love should look like. It's how he's already demonstrated love towards us. And how many of you know he's loved mankind absolutely perfectly? Okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends. I would have loved if he had stopped right there. We're friends. You're my friend. He qualifies it again. He says, you're my friends. Look what it says. What's the next word? If. Everybody say if. Ah, big word, isn't it? If is a big word. You are my friends if you do what? Do what I've commanded you. What did he just command us? Love one another as I have loved you. Did Jesus just love us up here? Did he just think loving thoughts towards us? No. He gave the ultimate act of love. He gave up his life for us. So it's sacrificial. Go to John chapter 13. Just back up a few deals. Verse 34. This is a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 35. By this. By what? Not by his love. But by our love for one another. Let me say it another way. By our care for one another. By this, we'll all know that you're my disciples. That's powerful. By this, all will know that you're my disciples. And then he just clarifies it again. If there's that word again, if you have love one for another. The hallmark of the Christian, the thing that identifies the Christian, is not our sacrifice. It's not how tough it is to follow God, if I could say it that way. It's not what we give up. It's what we do in caring and loving people. That's what shows that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's pretty powerful. By this we'll all know. By what? By our love one for another. You see, God's done all that he could do for us, if I could say it that way, in terms of providing all that's necessary for us. Everything that Peter says that pertains to life and godliness. In other words, our time here on this earth, however long that may be, we have the provision of God to successfully accomplish his will through our lives upon this earth. And that caring for one another is the hallmark that will identify we're his people, if I could say it that way. Let's go on. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, verse 3, you have to only look at it in terms of the context to figure it out. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. Now, let's just stop right there. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. But let a man examine his own work. What own work? Now, there's a couple ways that you can look at that. The primary way that most people look at that is examine his own work. How am I doing at serving God? Okay? And there's certainly an application there, for sure. But in context of this scripture, we have to ask this, but let a man examine his own work. What work would that be? Is there any work involved in what we've just read? Yes, there is. Bearing one another's burdens. Let a man examine his own work. So I'd have to look at myself and say, wow, am I thinking I'm something? Am I thinking I'm above helping somebody, caring for somebody? Because listen, Caring and loving people is not the easiest thing on the earth. Would you agree with that? Have you ever made a call, and let's not raise our hands on this because it becomes pretty sobering. Have we ever made a call? It's like, man, I know they need help, but you know what? Oh, it's going to take time. And besides that, I may get involved and it may get really deep. So I'll just pray for them. Isn't it easy for us to rationalize things that way? Well, I'll just pray for them and I'll just send thoughts of love their way. Okay, prayer is good and thinking thoughts of love are good. But ultimately, somewhere along the line, to bear one another's burdens means to carry the load physically. In other words, guess what? To love and care for people, we are going to have to get involved. And getting involved isn't always the easiest thing. I'll say this. I think it can be one of the most rewarding things. Would you agree with that? I think it can be one of those things that big picture. You see, if we look at anything in the moment, you know, we'll come up on one side or the other of the equation. But if we look at big picture, by us loving, caring people and getting involved, and if I could say it this way, getting dirty and all that that means in doing that, giving up time, sacrificing this, that, or the other. I know what we're thinking. Yeah, but I already do so much. I have so many burdens. We all are carrying things with us, right? We'll find later on in this chapter of chapter 6, we'll find later on it really comes down to this thing called the law of sowing and reaping. Be not weary in doing what? Good, right? The good in context is talking about this whole thing of caring and loving people. So if he thinks himself to be something, he's nothing. He deceives his own self. But let a man examine his own work so that there could be a time of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but the drive to fulfill the law of Christ inspires me to try to do better. It's interesting how some people react to a high bar. Sometimes, you know, that high bar of you know, husbands, how many of you know we have a high bar? Husbands, love your wife. If it just said there and stopped there, I would love it. Are you with me? I mean, wouldn't we all? Same thing for our wives. If it just said, well, you know, love, well, then we could define it as we want to define it. And, you know, ultimately, if it just came up short, I could just look at my wife and say, babe, it's all I got. Take it or leave it. But he says, husbands, love your wife. How? As Christ loved the church. Well, how many of you know Christ never had a selfish day loving the church? Y'all are just driving me nuts. I'm not helping today. You're on your own. That'll never happen. And he loves us so perfectly. And what does that make us do? It makes us respond in a great way. So husbands, we already understand this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Woo-hoo. That qualifier raises the bar so high. I'll be real honest with you. There's many people that love God, call themselves a Christian, that when they get to that part, as Christ loved the church, there's a mental shutoff and an emotional shutoff on the inside. It says, well, yeah, like I can do it like he can. And so just don't even try. Amen? Same thing can happen when it comes to caring for people. Because, listen, that command now is body of Christ wide. Women, children, men, boys. This commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Wow. That's an incredibly high bar. My response is, I know I'm never going to be able. I know just realistically, I can't attain to the perfection on this side of glory that Christ did, right? But you know what? I want to try to get as close to that bar as I possibly can before I stop breathing. Let's not let that high bar at all. Let's not let it go, well, I can never do that. I mean, look at him. He's God. He did it perfectly. We can't check out because we don't feel like we can ever get there. Listen, let it propel us. Let the help of the Holy Spirit propel us to just see how close to that bar we can possibly get before we croak. Go on. But let each one examine his own work. I believe, guys, in context of the scripture, there is a personal application. But I also believe that it's in reference to what we're talking about. Bearing one another's burden. Look at this verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. It's been interesting over the years of ministry of how people will respond really on the inside. So you got the emergency motivated crowd that love the first part of verse 1. If any brother is found in a trespass, those who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So the mercy motivated crowd are all over that verse like ugly on an ape. Are you with me? It's like, oh yeah, got to be gentle. So that if there is any discipline offered in the church, that's a topic the church doesn't talk a whole lot about either. It's discipline within the church. They maybe see discipline that takes place within the church and the mercy motivate. Well, we're supposed to be gentle. Paul also, you got to interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. Paul also, in the book of Corinthians, he said, you know, if there's some that are unrepentant, if they're in a spot that they're not willing to submit to the law of God, if they're not repentant for the sin, he said, set them outside of the church, palms out, and do not let them come in until they are repentant. Now, the prophetically motivated crowd, kind of the black and white people, look at that and say, I'm all over that like ugly on an ape. Are you with me? The thing is it all comes down to, and while that first verse is talking about somebody that's found in sin, a trespass, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, it comes down to how far are we going to walk out this thing called love. The first point I said is we got to look at ourselves. But for the grace of God, any of us could find ourselves, listen, on the receiving end of care. Any of you ever needed help? Any of you ever needed love to get through something? Every one of us have. The next thing that Paul says, he says, to bear one another's burden. But then he says in verse 5, each one should carry their own load. And I don't know how many times I've had people that are, you know, we make a judgment call, don't we? When we see somebody in a place that maybe they need help, they need love or whatever, any of us ever made a judgment call of whether they think they deserve it? Well, if they wouldn't have made those stupid decisions, they would have never found themselves in that spot. How many of you know that doesn't matter at this stage? They're in the spot. What are we going to do? They're there. What are we going to do? I'm not talking. I know some people think, well, you can't have that sloppy agape stuff. Oh, okay, I understand that. We're not talking about giving people a reason to sin. We're not talking about enabling some people's lack of discipline and this, that, or that. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about just real life. And there's not a perfect one of us in this crowd. Not a one of us. And so that love that's before us, that loving one another as we've been loved by God, wow, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. We can't put a judgment call on it. We judge who? Judge yourself lest you be judged, right? We judge ourselves and go, you know what? Okay, whatever. Love can deal with the stupid decision that was made. Isn't that right? Love can deal with that, and you know, there can be times, how many of you know, though, unless we show we care, we'll probably never get to be able to deal with the stupid decision. Do you know what I mean by that? In other words, if we just come up, well, that's stupid. You made your own bed, you're going to have to lie in it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We'll probably never, ever, because we haven't loved the way Christ has loved us. Because listen, have any of you ever blown it with God and then gone to God and had Him respond the way we sometimes respond to people? How many have sinned more than once? Raise your hand, please. How many of you sinned more than 10 times? I'm not talking in the last hour. Okay. We're probably up there, if you're my age, 52, you're probably up there in the 20s. 1,000. See? You judge me. No. We're up there. And you know what? I've yet to have God respond to me with, you know what? I've had it up to here with you. I've had God respond to me with, you know what? You're too old in me to be doing the same thing again. But let me help you through this. Now, listen, He can say, you know what? You're too old to be doing that. But you know what? I can help you, but you've got to be willing. Amen? You know what? Every time, my heart begins to open up again, and I find myself always drawn back to God. Every time. Because I know, ultimately, at the end of the day, His love is going to be there for me. And here's what's wonderful about God, because His love is still works itself out physically. It really does. There is a very physical side about being spiritual. Isn't it wonderful that in times like that, God, because He loves us, will send that person, will send somebody to us. It may not be, it won't come usually in a, I'm here sent by God. Okay, it's not that. It's the kid. It's the wife. It's the friend. It's the husband. It's the somebody. It could be a pastor on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. It could be a friend in a Bible study. But God will see to it that somebody gets my way, that on a physical level, I'm shown love. I could find myself in a situation, I don't know what to do, and maybe I've made a wrong decision, and I've blown it, and I shouldn't have done that, or whatever. And what's amazing, because God loves me, He still, even though Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, His love is still active and still working itself out in the physical to help me be that kind of man that God wants me to be. He'll send somebody alongside, and maybe just make a comment over coffee, and I'm sitting there going, whoa, was that God or what? And the person has no clue. We just had a cup of coffee. Isn't it amazing the lengths that God will go to show us love? So here's what we got to ask ourselves. What lengths will we go to show love to somebody else? It's like, ooh, now, Pastor, you're starting to get personal. I know. But we at least have to ask ourselves the question. God goes to the ultimate lengths to show us love. How far are we willing to go to show love? Well, I'm just fed up. Okay. So loosen your wranglers, chill out, take a deep breath, and just ask yourself this. If God responded back that same way, where would we be? I know the trump card. Yeah, but I'm not him. Okay. Okay. I understand that. We're not him. But how many of you know we're to do our best to act like him? Okay. I understand we can get frustrated. And you know what? There's a time to just sit down spiritually, chill out, loosen our wranglers a little bit. It's all going to be okay. Wake up tomorrow morning with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what we got to do? We still have to go to all lengths. You mean God expects me to go to all lengths? Well, I don't know. I just don't know how else we can interpret the scripture. I command you to love one another as I have loved you. So at the very least, could we say this? We can't give up early. Amen. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Again, two ways. You can take it just personally. I'm responsible for myself. I'm not responsible for anybody else. Okay, you can take it that way. Certainly there's some sort of an application there. But could we just look at it this way? For each one shall bear his own load. Can that also include, for each one shall bear his own load in carrying someone else's burden? Because here's one thing that's true about the Christian walk. It cannot be, listen real close, the Christian walk is not just a personal deal. It is not just a personal deal. We're a part of a body. Amen? I can't cut my thumb off, lay it on the table here, and expect it to have a life of its own. It's impossible for us to have this deal that, well, it's just between me and God and me and my faith and whatever. Listen, if that's the vibe of our life, I'm just going to say this point blank. We're missing the whole point of Christianity. And it's possible you may just be deceiving yourself. Because this thing of serving God If it's just a personal deal, then explain to me how you can even fulfill love. Are we going to waste it all on ourselves? And don't we call that selfishness? To love means there's got to be a subject or an object of love. Amen? Anyhow, we'll stop there and just continue on next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.